And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes
and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. I mean, that's a very familiar passage. Let's be honest, right? I mean, we have this passage, and if you were to pick one part of the Bible and say, okay, we're going to pick one thing that's going to capture the Christmas message, this is the story, right? This is the one we would all pick, right? It's an amazing story. And what's interesting about this story is, you know, we've all heard it. We've all thought about it a lot. But then we're thinking about sort of the sermon series that we're doing this year, right? So Mark started this sermon series a couple weeks back with the question of what were they expecting, you know? And he's sort of thinking, you know, you think about all the various people, what were they expecting? And so the first week he gets Zechariah, and what is he expecting? You know, his father, John the Baptist, and you imagine this guy who's a priest, he's steeped in Old Testament, you know, he's got the expectations of a Messiah, and then suddenly this angel shows up, and there's going to be this forerunner, John the Baptist. I mean, that's a great story, right? And then we also had, last week Mark talked about, Simeon and Anna, you know, older people in the temple, right? Just sort of what are they expecting? And they're sitting here awaiting and waiting, and they've been promised and they're going to see it. And then suddenly this Jesus shows up, and it's just sort of, it's also this great story of what were they expecting. So let's take this story. What were they expecting? What were the shepherds expecting? You imagine these shepherds sitting around. What were they expecting? And the answer, I think, is pretty safe to say is, what were they expecting? Absolutely nothing. I mean, literally nothing, right? I mean, maybe these shepherds had heard some stories about a Messiah or something, right? But let's be honest, they're shepherds. Like, what are shepherds? Right? You think about shepherds. Well, Aristotle described shepherds, right? He's sitting around talking about all the sort of society. Shepherds, he says, are the laziest of all the people, right? They lead an idle life, he says. They get their subsistence, right? How do they feed themselves? From tame animals. You want a boring, pointless job, shepherd is it. Imagine being a shepherd, right? Imagine for a second, you wake up one day and I tell you, you are now going to be a shepherd in first century Palestine. And you go out and what's your job? You sit outside and you watch sheep. And you do that for an hour and you think, oh, that'd be nice outside, cute little sheep. And then you get to do it for a second hour and a third hour and a fourth hour. And you can imagine 12 hours of just sitting outside watching sheep. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched sheep, but they're not the most exciting animals to watch, right? They're not monkeys that do all sorts of funny, cute things, right? They just sort of stand around and eat hour after hour. And then sometimes maybe they sleep. And then you imagine a whole day of being a shepherd. And now you get to go to bed for the night, outside, sleep outside. Oh, it's like camping. And then you wake up the next morning, and what do you get to do again? Watch sheep again all day long. Now, there's multiple shepherds. So then you think, okay, at least around the campfire at night, we get to have great stories and talk to each other. And you imagine you sit around the campfire, and you say, ah, what'd you do today? I washed sheep all day. What about you? Yeah, I washed sheep. I mean, this is not the exhilarating kind of job that you're thinking about, right? When you're thinking about really great career paths, nobody tells their kid, you know what you ought to do? You ought to grow up and be a shepherd, right? You know what I mean? Why don't you? Because it's a very dull job and it's an idle job. You don't do much. Every now and then you get to wander with the sheep at sheep's pace over to a new pasture area, and then you can sit and watch from there. I mean, this is not like the best and the brightest of first century Palestine. So the real question we might want to ask is, The angels are going to show up and talk to someone. They want to tell somebody about the birth of Christ. He's just been born in this, he's in this manger. He's in this, you know, and there's no room in the inn, and he's over there somewhere. And the angels want to show up because this is exciting news, and they want to tell somebody about it, and they're going to go to somebody. Who would they go to? Well, they could have gone to the mayor, right? The mayor would be a great person to go tell this. Hey, by the way, mayor of Bethlehem, I know you're in a backwater town, but look, Christ the Savior was born in your town. This would be like the high point of mayoring Bethlehem, right? Could have gone there. Could have gone to all the socialites or sort of the hip people in town, right? You could have. Remember, this is a census year, right? So all the people that were ever born there. So surely there's some B-list celebrity that's rolled into town that you could go tell about this baby. I mean, you're going to do this thing, and who are you picking? Shepherds. People have absolutely no interest to anyone are the people who get this news. And that's a little odd when you think about it. It's not like it was sort of, we want this, like, we're gonna have the birth and it's gonna be all kind of quiet, you know, and no one is really gonna know, right? Angels are showing up, right? Angels with blaring songs and all the heavens being filled. So this is a spectacle. So you're gonna put on a spectacle. You could put it on in the town square and everybody could be happy, but instead, it's out in the fields with a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of absolute nobodies. Why shepherds? I mean, surely there's some reason that the angels would show up to talk to people of absolutely no account, who are expecting nothing, for whom this is just sort of out of the blue. Like, what's the point of all of this? Why go to these people? And then you start thinking, well, wait a minute. If I was planning the birth of Christ, right? You know, I want to plan the birth of Christ, and I'm going to plan it. I'm going to plan it that all the great people are there. First, you don't have it in Bethlehem. That's kind of a lousy backwater town. You have it in Jerusalem, right? And you have everybody there showing up for the birth of this kid. And instead, you're going to do it in this weird little backwater place. And the people you're going to announce it to are the most insignificant people in the town. And they're the ones who get the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, shepherds, is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Why them? And as you think about it, you realize, oh, there's a point there. And it's actually kind of interesting, right? In this little story about the birth, there's this point being made. For whom is the Savior born? Well, it's not just the mayor and the B-list celebrities or the kings in Jerusalem. It's for these lowly, insignificant people. And who else are lowly, insignificant people? Well, we're the shepherds. I mean, you sort of read about it and you're like, wow, it's like Christ's coming along and the angels are coming, talking to poor, ornery people like you and like me and saying, for unto you a Savior was born. And here it is, suddenly we realize that this story of the birth of Christ, which in my telling, in my movie version, would have been all about the glamorous people, was not just about the glamorous people at all. By having a first message here coming to shepherds, it's selling this amazing point that this birth is a big deal, not just for the beautiful people, but for all of us people, all of us insignificant people. Like when Paul was talking, you know, consider your calling, right? And he looks out at the church of Corinth and says, you guys are a bunch of losers, but that's who the church is, right? God's bringing all the losers into the church, and he is then the one who's great, gathering us all together. And the shepherds are the first set of people that God is coming to and saying, this is amazing, this is for all of you. And that would be a fantastic Christmas message all by itself, right? You hear about Jesus, you go see Jesus, and then you leave there and you go tell people about Jesus. You want the gospel message, it's right here embedded in the story of shepherds saying, be a shepherd, right? Be a shepherd this Christmas season. Hear about the birth of Jesus, go see Jesus, tell people what you've heard about Jesus. And that would be, if you want the epitome of Christmas, that's a great Christmas thing. And that, like I said, you know, that could have been a really nice sermon. But then as I was thinking about this question, I noticed something else weird. This story, Luke, I mean, Luke is a very cleverly crafted book, right? And so you look at this story about these shepherds, it's got this great message. And if you tune out now, you've heard a great Christmas message. Christmas is amazing. Jesus is born. Find Jesus. Go tell people about Jesus. That's a great message. But there's something else interesting going on with these shepherds. And the other interesting thing going on with these shepherds is, why shepherds? Like, you know, again, like, you got these people that wouldn't be expecting anything. Why shepherds? Shepherds have a really interesting status in the Bible. And we can start with this question. Who is the first shepherd? Like, who's the first shepherd? And it's not these guys, right? They're not the first shepherds. The first shepherd shows up back in Genesis chapter 4. So this is pretty early in the story. Genesis chapter 4, we get this. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore her brother, bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. The first shepherd turns out to be Abel. And what's even more interesting about this little passage is, Abel's not the first kid born, right? Cain's the first kid born. But we find out about Abel's job before we find out about Cain's job, right? We find out Abel is a keeper of sheep. Now, why is that interesting? And you think, well, it's not, right? So he's a keeper of sheep, right? I mean, whatever, right? And let's be honest, you're now thinking, this is a bit of a stretch, right? Shepherds in the New Testament, shepherds in the Old Testament, I mean, whatever, there's shepherds all over. It's ancient times. Of course there's shepherds all over, right? And so I know that's what you're all thinking, so bear with me a second, right? So you think sort of, Abel is here, he's his keeper of sheep. Well, then you think, why is that interesting in the story here? Well, back up a little bit. What's the very first command given in the Bible? The very first thing God tells people, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The first command to people is be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth. And if you want to describe a shepherd's job is to have dominion over sheep. That's what they do. The shepherd is not a sheep. That's really important, right? It's not like it's like the head sheep, right? Sort of walking around, you know, the sheep mayor or something like that, right? The shepherd is someone who is separated from the sheep, over the sheep, has dominion over the sheep. The shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep, who protects the sheep, who makes sure the sheep will thrive and survive and live on. Sheep without a shepherd have a very short, miserable lifespan. A lone sheep wandering the wilderness is dinner, right? I mean, they're not bright animals. They're actually really stupid animals, right? They do not know how to live on their own. And if you just abandon your flock of sheep and you come back 2 years later, there's likely not a flock of sheep there, right? And so shepherds are the ones, their whole job is caring for and taking care of these animals and making sure they will survive and reproduce and then grow and the flock can do it. And that is the first command given to humans in scripture is go out and have dominion over these animals. And then the first job that shows up is a keeper of sheep. And then Abel makes a sacrifice and God likes the sacrifice. And so suddenly right here in the other parts of Genesis, we find out, well, shepherds play kind of an interesting role in this early story. Okay, that's kind of neat. But then ask this question. If you think about the story of Israel, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, so you imagine at the time of Christ's birth, right? And you imagine you've got all of the history of Israel up to that point. And you ask yourself this question, who are the five most important people in the history of Israel? And five is a good number, right? Because if we made it six, the sixth would be highly debatable. But the top five, there would be zero debate about the top five. When you think about top five, and you're all thinking about it right now, right? You'll realize there's not even a candidate for the top five. So who are these top five, right? Well, the first and most obvious is Abraham, right? I mean, you can't have the nation of Israel without Abraham. God's the one who comes to Abraham, says, of you, you will have all these descendants. These will be my people. So it's the people of Abraham. And what is Abraham's job? Well, he's a shepherd. In fact, we know he's a shepherd because when he gets to the promised land, he and his Lot, right? They have this problem, right? And their people are all, they've got this land and they can't share it. And the reason they can't share it is because, well, all the animals are eating each other's grass all the time. So they have to divide the land, right? Because Abraham's got a big flock of sheep, right? And he's got to get the sheep and they got to get his own area or so on. So Abraham is a big livestock herder. And so first shepherd, Abraham. But then Abraham is a shepherd. Abraham's son, Isaac, is also a shepherd. He also has this whole story of the competing for water holes, and he's got to go find places to get rid of the water holes and deal with this all. And so Isaac is also a shepherd. And then Isaac's son, Jacob, is also a shepherd, right? And Jacob is like this fascinating shepherd story, right? If you think about the stories of Jacob, sheep are everywhere in the story of Jacob, right? This is the thing he's doing when he's trying to get Rachel and Leah. He's out watching the sheep, and he does a little trick where he gets all the big flock by having a mate properly, and he comes back, and, you know, even when he's stealing the birthright of Esau, right, you know, it's all about sheep, and he goes out and kills the sheep. I mean, so we have these sort of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? That's the first big three you think about, because that's how God describes himself. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and it's Jacob's descendants who become Israel. All three of them are shepherds. How much are they shepherds? When Joseph is in Egypt and he finally brings the whole family clan in, they go to Pharaoh and they need a place to settle. And if they had just settled in Egypt and mingled, there wouldn't be a nation. They all would have intermarried. But they end up in their own region where they'll only marry with each other. And why? Well, because, as Joseph explains to Pharaoh, we're shepherds. This is what we do. I'm a shepherd. We're all shepherds. Our fathers were shepherds. So we need to be over in the place with the good pasture land. And because they're shepherds, they end up as a separate people. That's kind of good planning, right? I mean, so suddenly they have these shepherds. Pharaoh even looks at Joseph and says, hey, great. If you know anybody who can take care of the livestock in my land, go ahead and do it. Because as Genesis points out, the Egyptians hated shepherds. So it's great. You now have a whole bunch of people that can be the shepherds because everybody hates the shepherds anyway, and they can go live somewhere else, and that'll be nice. So there's three of the big five. Who else shows up in the top five people in the Old Testament? Well, the creator of the nation, the physical, political body kind of a nation, is Moses. Moses is hugely important in Israel history. He leads the Exodus, creates the nation, hands down the law. What's Moses' job? Well, you know, we get the early story where he's born and he gets the bulrushes and he grows in Pharaoh's house. But then where do we find him right before the calling? He's out in the wilderness and the burning bush is going to show up. And what is he doing out there? He is tending the flocks of his father-in-law. Moses is a shepherd. That's his job. So Moses is a shepherd. And who's number five? David, greatest king in Israeli history. What's his job? He's a shepherd too. And suddenly you realize, wait a minute, the first job mentioned in the Bible is a shepherd, Abel, the dominion thing. All of the important people, the most important people in Israeli history, are shepherds. Shepherds seem really important in the Old Testament. This whole point of like everybody keeps popping up a shepherd, right? And you think about how superfluous it all is. Like Moses, does he have to be out tending sheep? Do we even have to know that fact about him? But we're told that fact about him. David, that he was out tending the sheep. We have not, but that's what he was doing. We just keep seeing it. It's almost like the shepherds of Israel are like this symbol. You think about all these people in this Old Testament narrative and what's their job. The most important people are all shepherds, because what are they doing fundamentally? They're like the shepherds of Israel. It's like the Old Testament narrative. You can read it as a story of watching the shepherds of Israel rise up and take care of the people. And the good rulers take care of the people of Israel. The bad rulers don't. And so you could read the Old Testament as a story of shepherds. And if you're thinking it's a stretch, well, it's not my idea to read it like that. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah is looking out, you know, and he's angry about everything. So it's one of his angry moments. And this is what he says in Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. is really angry at the Israelites because their shepherds have abandoned the flock. And then you imagine this nativity story, and you think the angels are going to come talk about the birth of Christ the Lord. Who's the most obvious person to go tell? Well, it's not the mayor or the B-list celebrity. The most obvious people to go tell would have been the religious leaders, right? I mean, these are the people that are studying all the scripture and all of that. He could have shown up at the temple with all the angels and said, hey, look, Christ the Lord's been born. Why don't they hear about it? Why don't all the religious leaders hear about it? Think about it, if they had heard about it. If that had been the announcement, all the religious leaders said, whoa, the Messiah was just born, the story would be really different. But he doesn't show up to them because it says right here in Jeremiah, they've abandoned their flock. So God abandons them. And he says, I'm done with you. And then he says, I will go get new shepherds. And then Jesus is born and the angels show up. And who's the first person that gets the announcement? Shepherds. The symbolism is like stunning to think about. That like, here's God saying, I'm getting some new shepherds. And they're not exciting people, and they're boring people, and they're on the fields by night. But it's these are the new shepherds. And the new shepherds, these new people, this new idea that there's going to be this whole new order, what's the first thing they do? They show up, and they see a baby in a manger, and they are just amazed and awed. And you realize, who is this baby in the manger? Well, you know what? The baby in the manger is the Savior, Christ the Lord. The baby in the manger is the Good Shepherd, as he'll later call himself. Suddenly we realize these shepherds, this symbolism of the shepherds showing up, they're getting the news, they show up, they see Christ, and you realize, wait a minute, they weren't really the shepherds after all. They're the sheep. We're the sheep. We are all showing up here to see the really great shepherd. And then you begin to think, wait a minute, if we're the sheep and Jesus is the good shepherd, then what's our relationship here? And suddenly in the story of shepherds, the entire notion of how we think about ourselves and our lives is getting flipped. We go from a world where we're navigating our lives and running our lives and trying to think about how to do things in our lives to a world where we realize, wait a minute, we're sheep. We're the dumb animals that need dominion over us. We have dominion over the animals, but who has dominion over us? Who takes care of us and keeps us healthy and thriving and prospering? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, this is what the psalmist says. David, the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Think about this imagery, right? You've got this thing, right? You want to lie down in green pastures. You want to be beside still waters. It's easier to drink from still waters. You want your soul restored. You want to be led in paths of righteousness. This is what you want for your life. How do you get this stuff? Well, you know how we normally get it? You think, okay, well, I've got to figure out how I'm going to do this. We're like the lone sheep out there thinking, I'm going to run my life and I'm going to figure this out. And the whole point here is, you're going to fail miserably at it. You're a sheep. The Lord is your shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You want to think about the Christmas story and the birth of Christ, and you start thinking about sort of this imagery of the shepherds and the sheep and the role it plays straight through the entire Old Testament, and then you begin to think, if the angels are going to show up and announce something to somebody, who would be a really great piece, set of people to announce this to embed all of the symbolism of You are no longer a nation of Israel waiting for your earthly rulers to rule over you. They're done. They've abandoned you. But there's this new shepherd in town. And the new shepherd in town will take care of you. The new shepherd in town will have dominion over you, and he will watch over you, and he will protect you. And what would you say when you hear that? Well, it's not hard to figure out. If you really think about that idea, you'd scream out with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As a wise lad once said, that is the message of Christmas. That is the message of Christmas, Charlie Brown. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Christmas. God, we thank you for the incarnation. And God, we realize we are lost sheep. And God, we're lost sheep trying to figure it out on our own, trying to find a path, and we cannot do it. God, we thank you that you have not abandoned us to just be lost sheep. But God, you have brought up shepherd. You have brought someone to care for us, to gather us together. And God, to protect us in all things and to lead us into peace. God, teach us this Christmas season to follow the good shepherd and cry out, "Glory to God." In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please rise and we'll sing together.